God bless you, preacher. Amen. Amen. God is good.
All the time.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time. God is good. It's good to be saved.
Amen.
It's good to be saved.
Amen.
Sure. Pick that one from Brother Tony Shirley. It's good to be saved. Pump your fist in the air and say sure. The more I learn about your preacher, as the more I realize he's very unusual. And he's saying, I have a heart for people. But he has an awesome heart for people. Loves people. Loves those who are less fortunate than him. And his wife, hopefully, is in here or somewhere. But probably give the shit on his back. And I understand why God have joined us together. Because my wife is one of the biggest protectors that I have. And people often say that people take advantage over us. I don't believe that. I believe God provides so that we can provide for the needs of others.
Amen.
And I don't believe people can take advantage over me. They think they may. They think so. But it's not so. And it's an honor to be part of God's work. It's an honor to be saved. It's a blessing to be saved.
Amen.
I mean, if God did nothing else with me, but just knowing for sure I'm saved and going to heaven, and then to call me to preach, and not just calling me to preach, but I'll say about the Messiah, and I keep on saying to our church, to my wife, how privileged we are, and the people he brings into our lives. I didn't know much about you, preacher. Didn't know anything much. I know Brother Cheney introduced me to you at a conference. And that was it. We lost contact, say hi, and that was it. God knew all along what would happen. And I thank God for him. What wonderful singing tonight. His daughters. Wow, you guys need to go on the road.
Yeah.
Good singing. And how about the three brothers playing?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being good to us.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for the room.
Yeah.
Thank you for looking out for us. Thank you for your prayers, most of all.
Yeah.
And my desire is to honor God. My desire is to be used of him as a vessel to reach our hearts. All 30-something years as we preach, God have taught me that people come to church and they sit in church and they are burdened. All types of problems. And they're looking for help. The sad thing is sometimes they come to church and they leave church and no help is gotten. And one of the biggest hindrances to revival and unity in the church is how we relate to each other. How we communicate, how we talk, how we relate to each other. If there is genuine love, God moves in that church, mighty things accomplished for him. Over the past three to four years, I've gone through some things. And God has taught me some lessons. And I want to share some of these with you tonight and tomorrow night and Wednesday night. God has taught me. Preacher, thank you for being here. And my heart go out to you. Been my senior. And you've seen a lot. And we've seen churches break up because of how we handle people talking about us. I want to ask you a question. Do you like to be criticized?
No.
Anybody here like to be criticized? Put your hands up. Have you been criticized? It is not if criticisms will come. Because once you're doing something for God, you will attract criticism. The key for unity and revival in the church is how we handle criticisms. And as I seek to honor God, and I'm finding out that I have a lot in common with your preacher, that's unique, because I thought I was one of the, God threw it away. But as you seek to honor God and do exactly what God wants you to do, I have found out that people will not understand. I found out that people will tear you down. Because you're not in the traditional mold of how things are done. I found out as a leader, if God lays something on your heart, tell people about it, but proceed, do what God wants you to do. And I want to deal with that tonight, 1 Samuel chapter 30. Thank you, preacher. Chapter 30. We'll read some verses and then just try to talk to you. Look at verse number 3. So David and his men came to the city. Behold, it was burnt with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Verse 4. Then David and the people that were with him, I want you to note the words, how it's written. Verse number 3, go back a little again. So David and his men came to the city and beheld it was burnt with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no power to weep. Look at verse 6. And David was greatly distressed. Why? For the people speak of what? Stoning him. Because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. Our Father, as you have taught me, thank you for the lessons. God, we know that every one of us are called to do a work for you. We pray, God, even as we face criticisms, help us to have the David attitude. Challenge us. We know in the flesh it's difficult, but God, we know all things are possible by you and through you. And as you were with David, and as we see his reaction, help us to take heart and react as we ought to. We are aware of the workings of the enemy. You bind his forces. In Jesus' name, amen. In chapter 24 of 1 Samuel, David spared the life of Saul. In chapter 25, Samuel dies. In chapter 26, David again spares Saul's life. David was running for his life, in part because of Saul's jealousy. God had determined that David would be king in the place of Saul. And Saul moved with jealousy, determined to destroy David. Now, how would you treat someone who's trying to destroy you? Trying to kill you? David, on two occasions, had opportunities to kill Saul. In fact, somebody said, God delivered him into your hands. But David said, I will not lift my hands against God's anointed. David is running for his life. We find David in chapter 27 run to the Philistines. Now, the Philistines are Israel's enemies. David had defeated Goliath. And it's an amazing thing, and that's a different message, but it's an amazing thing when God's man can run to the enemy for comfort. That's an amazing thing. But David ran to the Philistines for comfort, for safety. In chapter 28, the Philistines are at war with Israel, and David is among the Philistines. In chapter 29, David has to make up his mind what he's going to do. Which brings us to our text in chapter 30. David determines that he will join the enemy to fight his own people. How could you and I should handle criticisms? How did David handle that? Note, first of all, the reasons for it. David determined, verses 1 through 5, that he will join with the enemy to fight against his people. That was a misguided decision. David was leading his troops to fight against their own people. Questions would be raised concerning that. By the way, the men still followed David into battle. God, through divine providence, prevented David from joining the enemy. Divine providence. David returned to the town, to the place where he and his family and the people dwelt. And when David got there in chapter 30, his family and his people were taken captive. The children, the wives were taken. The men destroyed. And David is faced with a difficult task. It's a misguided decision by David to go into battle against his people. And a lot can be said here. We do a lot of fighting in between us. Instead of fighting against the enemy, we fight each other. I don't know much. I'm not from the States. But I've been coming to the States for some time. And one of the first things people ask me is, what camp are you from? What college you went to? What difference does that make? I'm an independent Baptist. King James. Standing for the word. Soul winning. What difference does my college make? What difference does my connection make? But somehow we keep on fighting each other. And by the way, it's not in here. But the enemy, we are not the enemy. The enemy is out there. The enemy is the devil. Amen. The enemy is not your brother or your sister. The enemy is not the pastor. The enemy is not your Sunday school teacher. Although they may look like the enemy. Although they may behave like the enemy. Although they may speak like the enemy. Or they may have a spirit like the enemy. But they are not the enemy. Stop tearing down each other. Stop destroying each other. But David returned and the town was destroyed. The wives and the children taken in verse number 2. And the hard thing as a man is that they were not home to defend their home, their houses, and their family. They had gone, as far as they are concerned, on an ill-advised trip. And they get back home now, and their home is destroyed. And everything is taken. The Bible says, they lifted up their voice and wept until they had no strength. The Bible says in verse number 6, they began to criticize their leader. I said last night that God calls a man. Now I know we live in a liberation time. But God never calls a woman to pastor. Let me say that again. God never calls a woman to pastor. God calls a man. And as soon as God calls the man, God places his spirit in that man. God gives that man what is required to do the job. And sometimes the man can make some decisions that you question. Are we okay?
Yes.
Watch this. That's amazing. I preached that in Ambassador Baptist Church. The church I'm pastoring. few months ago. God gives me a vision. God gives me a burden. I speak to our men. I speak to the church. And I say, let's go get it.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
And we go get it. And God blesses. Here's an occasion where the leader is challenged. What's your Bible? I understand their frustration. Because David had asked them to fight their own people. That's a no-no. God, through divine providence, prevented them from doing that. They headed back home. They get home, nobody's there. And they believe, now listen, if we were there, if we were there, we would have protected our families. But we're not there. We were chasing a goose because of you. The Bible says, they lifted the voice and they wept. And verse 6 says, then they take a stone. They took up stones, wanted to stone David. Now, hold on a while. Preacher, wasn't the same men who were in debt, the same men who were discouraged, the same men who were rejected, the same men who were despised, who went out to David in the wilderness? Are we okay? And David accepted them. David took them in. And through David's guidance, they became mighty men. And you read the great exploits in the Old Testament. David's mighty men. They forgot that. As a pastor, you give your life for the work of God. As a preacher, you give your life for the work of God. As teachers, Sunday school teachers, workers of the church, you give your life for the workers of. And you'll do 99 good things for people. And one time, seemingly, something wrong goes place and they will take your neck. They forget all. Shoot.
Yes.
They forget everything that you have done. When they were weaklings, seemingly, and were messing up, you took time out to wipe their spiritual bottoms.
Amen.
When they were in a hospital and people gave up on them, who was there for them? Pastor.
Amen.
Amen.
The leader. Mommy. Daddy. The one in authority was always there for you. But seemingly one time things seem to go off track. You forget every good thing. You forget the mercy. You forget the grace. You forget the favor that is extended toward you. Now you want to crucify him. You want to crucify her. You don't want to see her face. You want to see his face. You don't want to hear from him. That's amazing. You think leadership is easy? I'm preaching revival. But unless we really appreciate what we have, there will be no revival. Not what we began Sunday morning. Then Sunday night.
Amen.
Then tonight. We are trying to hit, by God's Spirit, things that will hinder revival in the church. They took up stones to stone the same man. Now, when you kill him, where will you go to? Hello?
Yes.
Remember, they went out to him because they believe God anointed king. That he's going to be the king. And you trying to kill the king? That he's supposed to protect? I don't know about you. I cough today to my folks that I'm not perfect. Maybe, preacher, you are perfect. Maybe you're perfect. But I'll just talk to your wife and we'll know. I know this guy is not perfect. We stayed in the room. God help me. I'm the perfect one. No. We wanted to stone him. Listen, folks. I just want to be light. I want us to think. Open Door Baptist Church, I want you to think. We see the reasons for the criticisms, then we see the reaction. David's reaction to the criticism. Look at verse 6. The Bible says, and David was greatly distressed. David had a heavy heart. Let me ask you a question. I wonder how many times preachers go to sleep with a very, very heavy heart. Could I ask you a question? Open book, Open Door Baptist Church. How many times your preacher go to sleep with a very heavy heart because of you? You understand that is not good for you? The Bible says in Hebrews that he'll give an account to God, mm-hmm. that he may give it with joy.
That's right.
It's not good for you. Those of you who hear from our preacher's church, he has to give an account for you. I was preaching to our church. Do you understand in Ephesians that the pastor is a gift to the church?
Amen.
Do you understand that the pastor is a gift to the church?
Amen.
That does not make him a god.
Right.
We should worship God and God alone.
Amen.
We've got to respect the office. The Bible said David was greatly, greatly distressed. He was greatly troubled. In other words, he couldn't sleep. In other words, he was crying. I want you to know this. I want us to look at the scriptures. We read it a while ago. Look at verse number 4. Well, verse number 3 and verse number 4. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burnt with fire. And what was the next word?
And
their wives. That included David's wives were taken. It was not just the people who suffer loss, but David also suffered loss. Verse 4 says, they lifted up their voices and wept. They were not the only one grieving. David was also grieving. The same thing that happens to you happens to the pastor.
The same problems you face, they face it too. What are problems that we are faced with? Because we are men. He may be Superman. This brother here may be Superman. He may be, he is Superman. But I'm not Superman. Listen, folks. The Bible says David was greatly distressed. And you could check it out. I mean, he was perplexed. He was troubled. He was grieved. He was cut in the heart. I want to speak to the pastors and the leaders in the church. And if you're involved in ministry, when these things do happen, you know the Bible said David did? He encouraged himself in the Lord. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Preacher, when everything is closing in, and sometimes not even your precious wife understands, because there are things that happens in the ministry that only you can keep. You can't tell anybody. And when the world seems to be closing in on you, and sister, you don't understand what he's going through, he just can't tell you. He can't share with the men. There is somebody you can go to.
Amen.
The Bible says, David encouraged himself. Look at this. That's an amazing phrase here. That David encouraged himself in the Lord. You see, please pray for me. The word encourage means to seize something or to lay hold on something. The word encourage means to give strength and receive strength. One of the things I've found out in ministry that is precious to me is the promises of the Word of God.
Amen.
Listen. When nobody understands, hold on to the promises of the Word of God.
Yes.
Just go to the Word of God and just lay hold on. Depression, it is said, is when there is no hope. All hope is lost. And hope is alive when there is a promise. And you and I have the promises of the Word of God. And God have said, I will never leave you. Never forsake you. And you and I to remind ourselves who's called us.
Yes, amen.
By the way, he's never lost a fight.
Amen.
Amen.
And he will never lose a fight.
That's right.
When you and I cannot understand and things are closing in. And you can't even tell your husband, you can't tell your wife, you can't tell preacher. Preacher cannot tell you. There is one we can tell. You know, I thank God for his word. Look at Psalm 18. Let's just read some verses, could we? I will love thee, O Lord, Psalm 18. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death come past me, and the floods of ungodly men make me afraid. The sorrows of hell come past me, as the snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I cried upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even unto his ears. Then the Bible says, and the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the earth moved, were shaken. God is our rock. God is our refuge. God is our foundation. God is our protector. And preacher, the devil will say that's not so. He told me so. It's not so. When you feel overwhelmed with situations in your life, with criticisms, the Bible said David encouraged himself in the Lord. Encourage himself. You know, what we would like to do is not having a humble heart. What we'd like to do is to get upset. What we'd like to do is retaliate. What I would like to do is to go on the attack when people criticize me and tear me down. That's the natural reaction.
You're right.
You know, I found out the best response to criticism sometimes is don't say anything.
Yeah.
Don't say anything. Don't speak to men. Do not speak to men. I thank God for men he's placed in my life. Thank God for you. I thank Brother Fisher. Brother Cheney. Some good men he's placed in my life. But the best man I can speak to is God himself.
Amen.
You know, he's a friend that's to get closer than a brother. I don't know why I can't leave this as yet. How many of you are troubled tonight? Let me see your hand. Troubled? Put it right up. Put it right up. That's why I can't leave it. How many of you are going through some situation in your life right now that in the night hour nobody knows and you just withdraw yourself and cry?
Put it right up. How many of us, when we are criticized and things said about us, we go on the offensive and strike back at the people?
Shame on me.
Let me share a testimony. Could I share a testimony with you? And I'm just leaving the message for a while. Come back to it. Several decades ago, I graduated out of Bible school in St. Vincent. And I was like a man, like a hawk. I thought I knew it all. You have that little piece of paper from the Bible college, and you think, man, you're the best thing that ever happened to humanity. You're the best thing that ever happened to God. You are a special gift to God. And I thought I would go out and change the world and just bulldoze. I thought everybody would love me. I thought I would stand up and just preach. People would say, amen, preacher, we love you. I was up in Jack Mel pastoring a church. And that church had been without a pastor for a number of years. Maybe up to 8 years. That's dangerous. And a group of men were the pastor of that church. When they called me, I quickly found out that they wanted a figurehead. Not a pastor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They want to tell you when to jump. How to jump. How it should be done. This is how it is. That's how we used to do it. If you want that, you pastor the church, don't call for a pastor. Could I say that again? If you call for a pastor, that's his job. The pulpit is his job. Amen.
Amen.
Taking the oversight of the church is his job. That's Bible. Amen, preacher.
Amen.
And so I quickly found out, preacher, that I'm in trouble. Because I would sometimes preach, and boy, they would murmur and not long after that, I was kicked out of the church. They called a meeting, and people who never, I didn't even know they were members of the church. They turned up that day and voted. It was a minority vote. And I said, that's it. I'm going to study. I've always wanted to continue studies. I'm going to go study. But a mission was leaving the island in the area down south where I'm at right now, about 10 people. And he said, could you come and preach? I said, nope. I was a pastor, and I wasn't praying. I was reading my Bible. I wasn't going to church. I just hated God. But I said, could you come and preach? They didn't know my situation. They didn't know my state spiritually. But I said, come preach. I went to preach, finally, and I've been there ever since.
Amen.
Praise the point. Preacher, we're having street meetings, open air, and I was doing street meetings, and I just collapsed, passed out. Opened my eyes in hospital. Vital signs are good. Everything is okay. But I'm passing out. Doctor said, what's your occupation? I said, I'm a preacher. He said, oh. And the unsaved doctor looked at me and said, you need to forgive people. Tell you what I was doing. I was God's man. And I was saying, God, kill them. I was listening to death announcement.
I was saying to God, this is how you do it. Because I'm your man. Not many days after that, I was saying a matter of forgiveness. God showed me that forgiveness is letting go, releasing. I broke down in tears and asked God to forgive me. And then I made several attempts to go to the church, set up meetings with them, they wouldn't show up. I went to a conference. I got to the conference, and the main guy who instigated all that, I just walked up with him and gave him a big hug. He almost collapsed. Say, brother, I forgive you. If you touch me now, he'll take your neck off. You see, there are right ways to handle criticisms and wrong ways to handle it. That's not how David handled that. David went to the Lord. David prayed in verse number 17 and verse number 7 and 8. David prayed, seek God. He didn't strike back. God help us. God help us. God help us.
Amen.
Let's try to conclude that. The results. Verse number 8 and verse number 9, David inquired. He turned to God for direction. He turned to God for guidance. He turned to God for wisdom. He turned to God for help. Yeah. You see, David was walking with God in spite of the criticisms.
That's right.
Amen. It's good.
David knew who called him. David did not get bitter. David's faith was visible. The way he treated those who rise up against him. Amazing thing. David's faith brought victory. It was seen in the open. Verse 11 through 17, God said to David, go that direction and you'll be victorious.
Right.
And David followed God's direction. God led David in the right direction. David found the enemy. David's faith was openly victorious. What do you mean, preacher? Verse 18 through 20. David defeated the enemy. David not just defeated the enemy, but David got back everything that he lost. David not just got back everything that he lost, he got addition. Criticisms will always come. Listen, I'm preaching to myself because I need that. I need it. I mean, if you read the text, there were about 200 or so who did not go with David. They stayed in a distance. And when they got back with all the spoils, some of the guys who went with David said, they cannot get. David said, no, they will get. David's faith was generous. Because to whom much was given, much was required. David had, God had forgiven David for so much. David reminded himself, I need to extend that grace toward other people. Listen, I have found out that feelings will always get hurt because that's what feelings are meant for. Our feelings will get hurt when somebody speaks bad about us. Even those who are dead get criticized.
You're right.
Far less those of us who are alive.
You're right.
So criticism will come. We'll face it. But it's important how we face it.
Right.
Don't get angry. Remember who called you. Remember who you're serving. When everything seems to be closing in on you, remember God's promises.
Amen.
Even if the devil says he's forsaken you, remember, he'll always be there for you. And as you remember that, extend mercy to those who criticize him.
Right.
And I'm saying that, and I'm saying, God, help me.
Amen.
Remember, you'll do 99 things for people, and one time, seemingly, something is off track, they'll take your neck off. But go to God. Because the promise of God faileth not. God will bring you out. And when he's brought you out, remember, don't mistreat those who criticize you. Love upon them. Reach out to them. God help me. God help us. Now, how many of us want to be criticized now? Let's pray. If you're doing anything for God, you'll be criticized. It's like you have a target on your back. Hit me. Hit me. Depending on how you handle criticisms, your church will grow or your church will be destroyed. I pray that we all will handle it right. Remember, there's a God who called you. And a God who will do it. I didn't preach for salvation. I've really preached to the Christian. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, Jesus Christ wants to save you. He wants to make you his own. And enable you to handle criticisms right. Father, please help me. Please help us. Lord, we are needy people. You've been the greatest example. Please do your work in our hearts and our lives tonight. Stay the hand of the enemy. Help us to have a right attitude, even in criticisms.
help us to be a true example of Jesus Christ. Lord, it's not if they will come, but when they do come. Lord, I pray for the pastors in the church tonight. I pray that you would enable, you empower, you strengthen.